Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Who's in charge around here? Well, if we were in the Wild West, I suppose the sheriff would say, I'm the law around these parts. But what does that have to do with the church? Who's in charge of the church? Who's in charge of the world? Who's the one who has the authority? In our reading this morning, the centurion states that he is a man who has soldiers under him, who obey his commands. He says to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to his servant, do this, and he does it. In fact, you would expect a Roman centurion to have soldiers that obey him. This role of great authority means that he's in charge of nearly 100 men. And people have respect for this man of his stature. People listen to him. It's a given. But the really interesting part of verse 8 in our reading this morning is that the centurion tells Jesus that he is a man set under authority. He doesn't say that he's a man of authority. He's a man set under authority. You see, the centurion realizes why people obey him. It's because he himself is under authority, namely the Roman government, and ultimately Caesar himself. And so his words of authority are not his own words of authority. No, people listen to him and to his commands as if it was Caesar himself speaking to them and telling his soldiers and servants, go, come, and do this. And so when he speaks, servants and soldiers obey. They come, they go, and they do. The centurion is not a man of authority. He's a man set under authority. And he says to Jesus, I too am a man set under authority. He recognizes something special about Jesus. That centurion must have heard the stories that were spreading. Stories about a man who ministers to great multitudes. About a man who simply speaks and people are healed. Numerous diseases cured, lepers cleansed, a paralytic walking, a withered hand restored. And he even forgives sins. He speaks as one with authority. When Jesus speaks, things happen. And even as powerful as Caesar is, not even he is a man of authority when it comes to the centurion's servant. The centurion's servant who is sick to the point of death. He couldn't do a thing. At the beginning of this passage, we find out that this event, the centurion coming to Jesus, happened after Jesus had said all these things. That is, Jesus had said, blessed are the poor, the hungry, the weepers, the hated. Woe to the rich, the full, the laughing, those spoken well of. Love enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Jesus was turning everything upside down. And Jesus is challenging the authority that people have tried to put in opposition even to God's word. But to those who are burdened with sin and know the law's judgment, he announces grace and mercy overflowing. And yet his own people do not believe. They cannot stand the fact that their authority is being challenged when he heals on the Sabbath. And the Pharisees cry out, blasphemy. But this Gentile centurion seeing what so many of the Jews did not, realizes that at the very least, Jesus is one set under authority. Jesus is the one doing the will of God the Father. And that is why things happen when he simply speaks. When Jesus speaks, it is God saying to the man whose hand is withered, "Stretch out your hand." And to the leper, "Be clean." And to the paralytic, "Your sins are forgiven. Take up your mat and walk." And so, for the centurion, he must be thinking, perhaps Jesus could speak a word of authority in my situation, for my servant. And so people are sent out to bring him to the house. But the man does not think that it would even be right to have Jesus in his home. A man of Israel, in his house, the house of a Gentile. He says, "Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. Therefore, I did not presume to come to you, but say the word, and let my servant be healed." And here is the great faith that Jesus speaks of. "I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith." Just as the times before, when Jesus speaks, things happen. And the servant is found well. And Jesus is not merely speaking God's word, he is God's word in the flesh. What does Jesus' word of authority have to say for us today? What does Jesus' word of authority have to say to us, his church? You know, we have a voters' meeting today. So, who gets to speak with authority in the church? Is it the congregation as if it's some sort of democracy? Is it simply a majority vote on all things? Are all people people of authority? Well, no. Just because a majority votes on something does not mean that it's the right thing to do. We are not a people of authority when it comes to the teaching and the doctrine of the church. And what about the people who put in the most time and the most effort, as much as that's appreciated? Are they the ones who get to call the shots because they've earned the right by putting in their time into the church? Are they people of authority? Sorry, no. It doesn't work that way. Well, what about the pastor? Is the pastor a man of authority? Does the pastor get to tell everyone what to do simply because his ego says so? No. Absolutely not. The pastor is under authority, under the authority of the word. You see, there is only one who is of authority. And it's at this point where this reading really chafes against our culture. We are not men and women of authority, not when it comes to life, as much as we want to make it that way. Yet we try to be. We try to say what goes because we think we have the right. But this is sin. And we try to be men and women of authority over our own lives. Sometimes we take after the patterns of this world. And we think that to be people of authority, we have to become rich and powerful. But we know better. For what do we have to say in the face of death? we are left speechless. We have no authority to speak there. But Jesus speaks with authority, the authority of God in the flesh. Jesus' words of authority still ring true today. They ring true far and above the clamoring chatter of this world. This world filled with people struggling to assert their own authority. Jesus, God speaking to us, says, "I am the resurrection and the life." The difference is that when Jesus speaks, it happens. Jesus spoke words of authority that on the third day he would rise again. And those words were still present through the arrest, the trial, and the crucifixion. And above his head on that cross was the inscription that read, "The King of the Jews." The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who has all authority, was born a man. And he allowed himself to be subject to the law. The one who has all authority lowered himself to be under authority. And he did the Father's will while being under the law. And he became a servant to all, even to the point of death on a cross for our sins. A dead man, seeming to have no authority to this world, was placed in a tomb. But as before, when Jesus speaks, things happen. And he is risen from the dead on the third day, just as he said he would. Jesus conquers death, showing for whom he speaks. He says that he is the resurrection and the life. And so he is. And so he is for you. But not only does Jesus have authority over physical death, Jesus has authority over eternal death caused by the effects of sin. He even forgives sins. Through his death and resurrection, Jesus paid the price of judgment for the sins of the whole world. That all who believe in him and his authority as the Son of God have eternal life. When Jesus says your sins are forgiven, they are forgiven indeed. And he speaks the word of God. That when you hear absolution at the beginning of the service, that's his authority, saying, "I forgive you of all of your sins. And I give you life." See, these words of Jesus still ring true for you today. Jesus has set us to be a people under his authority, forgiven of our sins and given life. And he has assured us of his gracious authority over our lives. He has the authority to heal this centurion's servant. He has the authority over the world. He even has authority over voters' meetings. He has authority over sin. He has authority over death itself. And he has set us in places to share his authority by graciously speaking of his forgiveness and life. Jesus has the authority to forgive your sins. Jesus has the authority to give you life. Amen.